All right, the kids are gone, so I don't have to do anything with them. Hey, good morning. I have one quick thing I want to follow up on Brad's message just last week. And he was trying to get that there's a difference between goats and sheep. I know he said sheep. And my three daughters were gripping their chair the whole message. Because it drives Shelby crazy. Sheeps, it's sheep. But sheep. He was calling it sheeps, and I'm sure he had a purpose for that. But here's what I'll tell you what I know about goats and sheep, the difference. I have raised, probably over the last 30 years, I don't know the exact number of lambs out of my grandfather's bank barn, which is now my sister's bank barn, and that's where we do all our lambing at. And I have never had, I'll put a number on it, I'll say 2,000 sheep we've had in now there. I've never had a sheep climb the stairs to the upstairs. We've raised three goats, not raised, we purchased, my grandfather purchased three wethers from the fair from different kids. You know, not a one of them made it through the winter because they all climbed the steps and kicked the bucket that we held the trap door up with out, and they hung themselves. So we don't want to be goats. We don't want to be goats. And I don't know why they do that. I don't know why the sheep don't. But they won't follow the lead. They won't leave their back feet off the ground. They will not follow the goat into that. That's kind of weird to me. But so I wanted to follow up with that. That's where I started with. Good news for you all is I was off work all week this week. Right? So I thought, man, all right, God, show me what you want. We're going to really be prepared. I'm really going to, you know, do what you want me to do. Well, guess what? This morning I got up to finalize what I felt like God had been leading me to. And while the title of the message didn't change, the direction went totally different. So, are you thankful? Show God's kindness. We use the same message. But I was going to just totally focus on the thankful and showing God's kindness. I didn't want to go into Thanksgiving, really. I didn't want to go into Christmas, really. Guess what? You're getting both. You're getting both. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I thank you for your plan. I thank you that you have your hand on us. And you have your love upon us, Lord. And just as we go through this message, just take me out of the equation and use my mouth to spew the words you want to be said, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I started thinking about Thanksgiving. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving, by the way. Everybody eat way too much? I did. But you know what's weird? I went to my mom and dad's and she had, I don't know how many people were there, I'll say 50. And for the first time that I can remember, when people were leaving, there were full pies, not even cut. Full, Chris makes a grape salad with cream cheese and vanilla and something else, I don't know. And it's really good. And there was like three grapes missing out of it, right? I don't know what that is, whether we're becoming more health conscious. I think that's why I didn't eat as much pie. I'm kidding, because I ate these Buckeyes that were this big around, my cousin made. But Thanksgiving is a time for us to reflect on all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. You know, we don't make our own luck very often, because when we try to do that, what happens? I fall on my face. And then I have to turn around and look at my God to pick me up. So God has given us a lot, and my family is truly blessed. So how do we move forward from Thanksgiving? I'm going to propose and try to show my thankfulness by showing God's kindness to others. My family is blessed. We need to share just as Jesus shared with everyone. And the first passage I'm going to use today is Matthew 5. And I'll get there. It may not make sense at first, but I will get there. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 45. And you're going to look at me and say, Matt, we're talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you want me to love my enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than the others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, in there God says, be perfect. Do you fully expect us to be perfect? Man. He wants us to put our best foot forward by showing his love. If we do that, we're perfect in his eye. And we follow it up and we treat people the same. You know, as I have people in my life that I have a hard time showing love to, right? But what happens when I make a conscious effort to show God's love to everyone? We went shopping Friday and we really weren't looking for anything. I just like to go watch people. But one thing that struck me about the whole day was there was a lady that was going to her car and she was parked in, I don't know, one of the front rows. And Chris saw that she was getting ready to go and take her cart back to the store. And Chris grabbed her cart and said, I'll take it back for you. And you'd have thought that Chris ran 3 miles out of her way to help this lady. But a little bit of compassion and a little bit of love made that woman's day, probably, because she didn't have to walk back there again. You know, once I leave Walmart, I don't want to go back. So that little act of kindness, you know, we're not talking about great grandeur things. I don't have to go out and buy somebody a $1,500 something. I'm talking about little things like that, or you know, leaving a note or sending a card to someone you know might just need it. If God lays something on your heart, follow through with it. It doesn't have to be some grand. The things that mean the most to me, and I'm sure most of you are like this, are things that I know come from here. I don't need something from here. Usually this is empty, right? But I don't need something from here. I need it from here. And Chris will tell you I'm not very good at that sometimes. Sometimes it's easier for me to do this than it is to do this. I got to work on that. How do we give? Matthew 6. This is important because I'm telling you to give and to show kindness. But here's how we're going to do it. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward for your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, you have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In Matt terms, what's that telling you? Don't go tell everybody you're giving somebody something. I think that's twofold. Number one, we shouldn't need the reward. We've already got the reward. We shouldn't need the praise because God's already done everything for us, right? But number two, if I say, hey, I just went and gave $700 to Shelby to help her get through the Christmas, how does that make Shelby feel? Right? So are we we're not showing God's love if we're giving and boasting about it. Just give. Let it go. From here. If we're giving from here, we don't need all the stuff that fills our head. So what do you think of? So now, as we transition, believe me, it is Christmas now. We're into Christmas, right? If you need proof of that, come by our house. Chris has got our house looking like... Friday we came home, and like I said, we didn't have a lot to buy for. It's kind of neat. Our kids are at a neat stage to where they care more about the gifts they give than the gifts they get, so it's kind of cool to see. It only took 28 years for Shelby. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Shelby's been like that since she was 5. So it's kind of cool. But so we got home pretty early, and Chris was like, yeah, we're going to get some Christmas lights up. And I said, ooh, I went shopping today. I don't have to do lights too, do I? We got lights put up, and they really look nice. And, you know, for what it's worth, Shelby drove me around on the ATV. I was in the thing, and I said, man, I should probably put a ladder in the back of this thing so I could really get up high. And I thought about that and said, no. That's not God's plan for me to go to the emergency room today. So we're into Christmas mode, right? So I want you to think about the Christmas story. What do you think of when you think of Christmas? Obviously, we think of the birth of Jesus, right? Okay, well, we're going to think about the Christmas story. And I am going to give you three acts of kindness. And there's more than that, but these are three that really kind of stuck out for me. The first one, the innkeeper. You know, everybody else, and if you've ever traveled with me, see, I'm kind of like Joseph. I didn't call ahead and get a reservation. I'm going and I'm taking a hotel room, right? Well, these guys were booked. Everywhere was booked. So they came to this last innkeeper and they said, you know, we need a room. My fiance and my wife here, she's just about to give birth. And the guy said, sorry, man, I don't have any rooms. He could have left it at that because he didn't. But the act of kindness he showed will probably go down. Not probably. It will be remembered by Christians everywhere. Because he said, hey, you know, it's not much, but I have a stable that you could get out of the weather in. So that was an act of kindness because he didn't have to do that. He could have just, he was sold out. He was a rich man. He was sold out. He didn't have to rent that stable. But he did. So there's one. Number two, we're going to turn to Luke 2. And we're going to read 10 and 11. And we could read the whole story. We're not going to. I think that's for a totally different one. I just want you to focus on a couple things. 10 and 11. Well, we'll start in 8. And the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So the shepherds, they got that message from the angel. you know, they could have left at that point and started sharing, right? But what they wanted to do, they wanted to go see the Messiah. They followed what the angel said, and they knew where he was located. So they wanted to go see that. Why? I think so they could go tell the story and share God's kindness. Because think about how he was born. Man, I can just envision there was no sound in that stable. My barn gets quiet sometimes. But man, I can't quite grasp the total peace that was there when Jesus was born. And to me, that's really cool. It says the cattle were lowing. I don't know what that means. But I know sheep, when their babies are born, they do this little, I'm not even going to attempt it. It's not a baa, but it's like a little knicker kind of towards the lamb, so the lamb knows where the mother is. So when I hear the cattle are lowing, that's kind of what I envision. The cattle are just kind of real low-key, laid back. But Jesus was wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. He could have come in on the backs of elephants. He could have come in at the palace. He could have come in anywhere. He came in a quiet, out-of-the-way, run-of-the-mill stable. What were the shepherds? They were pretty run-of-the-mill, ordinary shepherds, right? Not many people wanted to deal with the shepherds. But when they saw the birth, they had a story to tell. So they went and they told it. So that's the second act of kindness. The shepherds actually just left their flocks and came. The third act is in Matthew 2. And let me get there. It's funny how God works. Anybody know what the passage was for Luke, for the shepherds that I read? It was Luke 2, 8 to 12, but I had 10 to 11 written down, and I probably screwed it up by not just doing 10 to 11. But this is Matthew 2, verses 10 to 11. And we could start in 8 there too, because that's when Herod calls the Magi. We're going to go to 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the act of kindness for the three wise men, or the Magi, well, they were ordered by the king to go find this baby. And the story was he was going to then come back and report to me so that I can go worship with the baby. What happened was the angels appeared to the Magi on the way, said, "Do not return to Herod, go a different way." So they did. So their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were small in the comparison to the gift they gave of not returning to the king. See, I mean, there's guys that gave the greatest gifts in the world, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the gift they should be remembered for is trusting the Lord. Because they did something totally other than what they were ordered to do. Because they knew God's plan. So the story of Christmas is filled with God's loving kindness. Just as the three wise men, Jesus' three gifts of kindness, God gives us three gifts of kindness during Christmas. The first gift he gives is eternal love. And we're going to look at Isaiah 9. It's Isaiah 9, chapter, or verse 6. And it's the gift of eternal love. For To us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If God's love isn't present, would he have sent Jesus? He wouldn't have needed to. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't have needed to send Jesus. Thank God he did. Thank God he did. So eternal love is one of God's three gifts he's given us for Christmas. Eternal peace. That's kind of a... When we think of our world today, do we think of eternal peace? We're kind of in turmoil, right? I don't think he's talking about like outward peace here. He's talking about peace, eternal peace in here. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So there Jesus or God is telling us, I'm not giving this to you as the world gives to you. Right? I'm not giving you peace just for a little bit because then you have a skirmish and you go fight. I'm giving you eternal peace beginning to end. Eternal. There is no end. Right? Peace I leave with you. Okay? Do not. The thing about God is, what happens? What happens? We can read this passage, we can take it out, we can apply it to our lives. What happens tomorrow when we go to apply it to our lives? Something happens, and I get scared of sharing. Guys, go back to this verse. Do not let your heart be troubled and afraid. If we believe the story, we got to believe everything about the story. Not just the cool parts where he's born in the manger and the shepherds and the wise men come. Guys, it was foretold long before. I will leave you with peace, and peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God has given us strength in our peace. One of the three gifts I was focused on today was eternal life. Can we imagine eternal? It's hard, right? Because we know right now our life has a beginning, we're born, and an end when we die. And we're all at varying spaces in between. With God and Christianity, we have a beginning when we accept Him. And as far as you can see, do we get that? That's why God sent His Son. Not for the neat story. He sent His Son because He wants to live in here every single day. And even after we die, we're going to live with Him. Forever. That's pretty cool. So, you know, this wasn't a, and I'm not done yet, but this isn't a Thanksgiving or Christmas. I just want us to think, and I want us to think of how blessed we are, and how are we going to share His love over this next however long. I'm not going to put a number on it. But if we shared God's love every day for the next 4 weeks, how much better a place would we be? Okay? Now if we shared God's love every day for the next 6 years, how much better of a place would we live? I'm not going to quantify the number. My challenge is, can we as a church go out and share God's love to everyone or to someone. Again, I don't care if it's one person, I don't care if it's 12 people. But are you sharing God's love for this Christmas season? Because if you're not, I think we need to evaluate where we're at. You know, we're all different places. You know, my kids are raised, for the most part, I think they could survive. But not, we're not all there. So we're able to do things that maybe some of you can't do. We're not able to do things that some of you can do. We're all in a different place, but are we doing our best for God? And are we willing to show God's kindness without getting a reward? So many times we all want to show God's kindness, but we want the reward, right? Man, God, you see that? How about a new car, God? How about an extra $500 in my bank account? Listen, if you're doing God's work and you're showing God's love, that is your reward, that you're able to show God's love. Because not all human beings can. Because they haven't all believed and accepted in this. At the end of the day, it all comes back to this and the resurrection. You know, the birth is a great story, cool story. The birth means he was here. That and the grave means he's here forever. So, I'm going to leave you with a story. We'll be done early today. Which is shocking, because I had like millions of notes earlier in the week, but God said, hey, throw those away. Okay. So, I saw this story, and I don't take credit for anything, because I'm on the Facebook now, I think it's called, and I figured out how to save some things, and every once in a while I come across these things. Of course, I'm not going to have service in here, so I think I remember the story. But this kind of hit home with me. And another reason I know Christmas is here is because we've been watching the Hallmark Channel for the last 6 weeks, right? And there's occasionally some movies that'll make me tear up because I think about their actual meaning. Most of them are the same. Somebody lives in the city, somebody lives in the country. The city person goes to the country. They meet, they fall in love. City person wants to go back to the city. Something happens, their plane crashes or their plane doesn't take off. They end up coming back, they live happily ever after, right? But there's some of them that have touched me and it's brought me to tears, and my kids make fun of me, but I don't care, okay? But this is a story that I've read, and I wanted to share it because, well, you'll see why. So there's a lady that was on the side of the road, and I'm not going to read it verbatim because I can't get my Facebook to pull up, but she was stranded on the side of the road, and she was an elderly lady, and it was cold, and it was snowing, and she had a flat tire, and she was scared because she thought she was going to get hit. She didn't have a change of tire. She didn't have a cell phone. She was scared, right? So this guy, this young man shows up, and he comes up and knocks on her window, and she is scared because she thinks the worst. She sees that he's in battered clothes, sees that he's probably just getting off work, he's dirty, and whatever. So she instantly goes to, is he going to rob me? This guy says, ma'am, I see that you're very scared. I need you to please get back in your car. I will take care of changing your tire, and I'll get you back on the road. And by the way, my name is Joshua Anderson. And so he changes the tire, puts the other tire back in the trunk. The lady is very thankful. And this thought never even crossed his mind. But the lady says, what do I owe you for helping me? You saved me today. What can I give you to help you? And he said, you know what? Here's what you can give me. He said, I don't want any money. I don't want anything like that. All I'm asking you to do is pass on God's love to someone else. So the lady says, okay, I can do that. Thanks him. She drives on. She's about halfway home. She decides she's hungry. She stops in a little diner. And in the little diner, there's a waitress that's really pregnant and looks just tired and beat down. And, you know, for those of you who've never waitressed, you get to deal with ignorant people like me's garbage for $2.10 an hour plus tips. Yes. Well, that's what it was when Chris waitressed anyway. That's why, man, I don't complain too much about, because I remember what it was like when she would come home, and this isn't part of the story, it's a sidebar. But I remember what it was like when she would come home just wore out, and she would just be so upset about the way somebody treated her. And you know, when we go out to eat, it's like, man, that service isn't very good. The food was okay, but wasn't very good. But I don't complain about that because I remember, and I'm not going to be somebody else's thorn. Okay? So anyway, this little lady ordered her meal. It was like a $4 meal. Waitress brought it to her, took care of her, gave her coffee. The woman then asked for the bill. The waitress went, brought the bill out. The woman left a $100 bill for the bill that was $4 and whatever, and snuck out. The waitress comes back, did not realizing the lady had snuck out, and sees a little note, and it says, "Somebody once helped me. I can tell that you need help. Please take this, and don't let the chain end with you. Please pass on God's love." Under the napkin was four more $100 bills. So she left this waitress a $496 tip. So the waitress was overwhelmed, and I know it's taking a while to get there. If I had read it, it'd been better. But the waitress goes home, and it's late, and her husband's in bed. But she has a sense of just shock and awe. And she crawls into bed, and she looks around, and she knew that the baby was going to cost more money for everything, and the bills were going to be more, and they were overwhelmed. She crawls into bed and gives her husband a kiss and says, "I love you, Brian Anderson." So that was pretty cool. I think that's the name I told you. I don't know, but it's the same guy that changed the tire. Okay, I'll get you there. I couldn't remember the name I told you, but I think that's it. But it's the guy that changed the old lady's tire. So kindness goes full circle, guys. God's kindness never stops. My challenge to you is show God's love. Show God's kindness. I don't care how you do it. You don't have to have some, you don't have to leave somebody a $500 tip. If somebody is in need, help them. If somebody just needs to talk, listen to them. If someone needs you to run to wherever, run to wherever. Guys, show God's kindness, and we don't need to be reimbursed for that kindness. We already have been. We already have been. So with that, I'm going to close. I'm starting to sweat, so I know it's time to be done. But as we head into Christmas season, don't forget to be thankful for what you have, what God's given you. But also show God's love, show God's kindness. You know, the shepherds did it. The wise men did it. The innkeeper did it. We get three pretty good gifts. Right? Eternal love, eternal peace, and eternal life. We should be able to show somebody God's love because of those three gifts that we've been given. If you can't, keep searching. Keep searching. Because eternal life, eternal peace, and eternal love, there is no greater gift. right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we just thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the gift you've given us of your Son, and that you want us to have the eternal peace, the eternal life, and the eternal joy through him, Lord. Lord, put people in our paths this week that we can show your love and your tenderness and your caring and your compassion with, Lord. Lord, and just as we move through the week, just bless us, make us the rock for you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So the elders will be up here, and the praise duet will be up here. If you have concerns, if you have needs, if you just want to know more, you know, we're always here. If you don't want to come forward, that's fine. You should have all three of our phone numbers. You have Matt's phone number. We don't care who you talk to. We just want you to know the eternal love, the eternal joy, and the eternal peace that we have. All right? So with that, take her away.